I'm Lana McDermott with 4M Farms in Cameron, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
Beef on dairy. It's become a very big deal for dairies and feed yards in the Texas Panhandle. I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
EPA recently took action to save drivers money at the pump this summer. I'm Jessica Domel, and I'll have more coming up on Texas Ag Today.
A North Texas cattle ranch wins a prestigious National Environmental Stewardship Award. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and we'll hear from the operator of that Cook County ranch on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Carrie Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. Cotton is up and growing in South and Central Texas, but we are still waiting for the planters to roll in the western half of the state.
I think cotton will start up early May and then progress as we move south, where we have longer growing season, you know, more opportunity for an open fall where we can, have some of those heat units in August, September. Yeah, mid-May is typically the prime time to plant cotton up on the high plains.
That's BASF agronomist Adam Hickson in Lubbock. He says his advice for cotton growers right now is to plan for weed control.
When you have some soil moisture there, you're going to get those weeds germinated, and we need to be proactive and make sure that we're getting our residual herbicides down. A lot of those things that are going out right now are what I call our yellow herbicides. So either Prowl or Trifluralin are going out as a early pre-plant application, and then the prime time to control your weeds is right behind the planter. That is so important, and with good soil moisture, we'll get those residuals nice and activated, and hopefully they'll last a long time, a good 4 weeks, and then a good overlapping residual in season. You really need to make sure that you're continuing your weed control throughout the season to give that cotton the best chance it can get to get a good start.
This week's Texas Crop Progress and Condition Report shows 16% of the Texas cotton crop is now planted. The Panhandle wildfires caused massive destruction that upended many lives. The stress from a life-changing event like that can cause mental health issues that need to be addressed. Michaela Smith is a Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Health Program Specialist with the Disaster Assessment and Recovery Unit. She says it's important to keep an eye on your friends and neighbors to help spot a potential problem.
We notice that someone is not participating in activities that they used to before the wildfires. Hey, I notice you're not coming to church anymore. Hey, I notice I haven't seen you at the coffee shop. Maybe their appearance has changed. Maybe they used to look very put together, but we're 2 months, 3 months down the line, and this person still looks very unkempt, or just doesn't seem like themselves. Those are the things that we're looking for.
If you or someone you know is having a tough time dealing with downfalls or disasters like the wildfires, call the Texas Agri-Stress Helpline. The number, 833-897-2474. That's 833-897-2474. Or you can go to farmlifehelp.com. Beef on dairy has become a very big deal for both dairies and feedlots in the Texas Panhandle. James Hunt has more from Amarillo.
The Texas Cattle Feeders Association says beef on dairy crossbred cattle have grown to represent about 16 to 18% of the inventory in our region's feed yards, an impressive rise that has happened in just a few short years. But why has this happened? I talked about this with Dale Werner, a meat science professor at Texas Tech University. Dr. Werner says the beef on dairy phenomenon really took off when dairy producers responded to a big change in the beef business.
A major packer processor in 2016, going into 2017, decided to no longer procure or take purebred dairy animals into their operation, which created a buyer's market for all of the other packers. Essentially, supply flooded the market with Holstein or straightbred dairy calves. The price plummeted. As a result, dairy farmers had to resort to something different. In 2017, bought that beef semen, sold those calves on the rail in 2019, and it's really been an uphill trend ever since.
Dr. Werner says to a small extent, beef on dairy cattle have been part of the industry for a while, but producing them in large quantities didn't pencil out until the big fall off in the value of purebred dairy bull calves.
It became sensible to spend $10 or maybe even less than that on a beef straw of semen put into a dairy cow to produce a calf that at least had some value. You know, if we look back at this market, we went from a $50 purebred calf value. Now we're looking at $500, $600, $700 per calf day-old values. So it makes that $10 to $20 straw of semen a pretty wise investment.
More from Dr. Dale Werner of Texas Tech in future reports. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
The EPA recently took action to save drivers money at the pump and help ethanol production. Jessica Domo reports.
U.S. drivers will continue to have access to E15 gasoline blends throughout the summer months. The Environmental Protection Agency recently issued a waiver allowing the sale of the 15% ethanol fuel blends in the summer, saying it will provide communities with relief at the pump from ongoing market supply issues created by the war in Ukraine and conflict in the Middle East. Here's Jeff Cooper from the Renewable Fuels Association.
So EPA is looking at all of those factors and using its authority under the Clean Air Act to declare emergency conditions for this summer and effectively waiving the volatility requirements for E15.
Cooper says the E15 waiver will help save drivers money, especially during high summertime demand when gasoline prices rise.
That fuel is typically priced 25 to 30 cents below E10, where it's being sold. So drivers that are frequenting those 3,500 stations that sell E15 today are saving a lot of money when they pull up to the pump.
Cooper says those drivers are giving ethanol producers and corn growers a huge boost.
Probably about 400 million gallons of E15 sales occurred last summer. Again, only because this waiver was issued last summer. We would expect similar numbers or even larger numbers this summer.
The National Corn Growers Association applauded the action, saying it is good news for corn growers and those in rural America who will benefit economically from the decision. Under current regulations, E15 gasoline blends cannot be sold at certain terminals beginning on May 1st and at retail stations beginning in June. The EPA waiver followed a months-long campaign, including letters to President Biden by nearly 1,000 farmers and ethanol workers and 46 House and Senate members. EPA earlier granted a petition from 8 Midwest governors to allow year-round E15 sales in their states, but not until next year. That prompted the industry to call for a permanent legislative fix, including the Nationwide Consumer and Fuel Retailer Choice Act. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
A North Texas cattle ranch was named the National Environmental Stewardship Award winner. Tom Nicoletti has the story.
G-Bar C Ranch, a North Texas cattle ranch committed to sustainability, was named the national winner of the 2023 Environmental Stewardship Award Program for its exemplary stewardship practices and conservation achievements. The ranch is owned by G.C. and Mary Ellis and operated by their daughter, Meredith.
For us to win this award is really a lifetime achievement award for our whole ranch. You know, it highlights our legacy, the three generations that are on this ranch, and just how important our natural resources and species conservation are, not only to us, but to our entire country. So it's an honor.
The 3,000-acre G-Bar C Ranch is located in Ralston in Cook County.
I like to say that we don't abide by practices as much as soil health principles. So, for example, one of the principles is keep the ground covered. So however that looks in the fall or the winter or the early spring, as long as we keep that ground covered, be creative, that's what we abide by, right? Over time of abiding by these principles, allowing 660 other species to call our ranch home besides our cattle, we're noting that we're protecting one of the last remaining healthy pristine watersheds in the state of Texas. And we're also, initial data modeling suggests that the way we ranch every year sequesters a net 2,500 tons of CO2. So every single year that we're allowed to ranch, we take 551 cars off the road.
That is Meredith Ellis of G-Bar C Ranch, winner of the 2023 National Environmental Stewardship Award Program. I'm Tom Nicoletti with the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
This is Jim Hearn in the Rio Grande Valley. The onion harvest starts. Great weather for harvesting and field work. We'll have those stories and more in today's report.
And lots of horses develop laminitis in the spring. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include but are not limited to livestock, feed, fences, and equipment. Unreimbursed additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications for assistance must be submitted by May 31st to a local county farm bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
We're making Texas agriculture great again. This is Texas Ag Today.
The onion harvest is underway in deep South Texas. Jim Hearn has this update from the Rio Grande Valley.
Valley's weather remains hot and dry, daytime highs in the mid-90s, and all areas are getting awful dry. With the dry conditions, Valley Irrigation's crews are working hard to keep up with the irrigation demand. Falcon Reservoir has dropped to 14.2%. That's down about 1% over the past month. Amistad elevation is dropping to 28% full. That's down about 2% over the past month. Daytime highs in the mid-90s, irrigation schedules basically now on about a three-week schedule. The onion harvest has finally started. Spring sweet onions should be in your local supermarkets. The crop, it looks like a good one. And again, plenty of spring sweet onions will be available. The citrus harvest is wrapping up. Valencia oranges and grapefruit wrapping up now the harvest. The new crop is progressing along. The citrus post-bloom sprays are now starting valley-wide. Irrigation schedules are again on about a three-week schedule. The range country is drying out rapidly. We have had a few small range fires, nothing serious yet, but the range country needs a good soaking rain. Cattle conditions do remain very good as well.
For Texas Ag Today, this is Jim Hearn in the Rio Grande Valley.
Lots of horses develop laminitis in the spring. Dr. Bob Judd says testing to determine the cause can be complicated.
The most common cause of laminitis in horses is endocrine disease, and the two diseases are equine metabolic syndrome and Cushing's disease. Cushing's disease in horses is correctly called PPID and is related to overproduction of the hormone ACTH by the horse's pituitary gland. Testing for this disease can be confusing, as the normal levels of ACTH will vary depending on the season. Dr. Martin Silence indicates in the horse publication that from August to October, the normal ACTH levels are three times higher than in the other months of the year. So this makes it difficult to determine if a test is normal or not. Also, there is a stimulation test that can be more accurate, but results are not validated for fall testing. Because of this, we have to be careful diagnosing this condition as false positives can occur, especially in ponies. Insulin levels can increase in both equine metabolic syndrome and PPID, and it is important to differentiate the two diseases, as treatment of PPID requires daily medication and it is not inexpensive, so we don't want to diagnose a condition that is not present. We have to be careful interpreting testing for Cushing's disease, especially in ponies, and must make sure clinical symptoms are present before making the diagnosis, such as excessive hair growth and lack of shedding hair in the spring, abnormal sweating, abnormal fat distribution, and laminitis. The disease affects a large percentage of older horses, so the idea would be to screen older horses for PPID before they develop laminitis. It is important to adjust normal ACTH levels for different breeds when testing, especially in the fall of the year. Testing in the spring may be a good idea, as this is the most common time for laminitis to develop, and maybe test again in the fall.
I'm Dr. Bob Judd. This is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include but are not limited to livestock, feed, fences, and equipment. Additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications must be submitted by May 31st to your local county Farm Bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
Here's the latest market information on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how the markets wrapped up on Wednesday. Cattle futures getting hit hard again due to avian influenza in the dairy industry. Two stories coming out. First, fragments of the avian influenza virus was found in milk samples. Second, USDA imposed mandatory testing on any lactating dairy cattle that want to cross state lines. Both of those stories put the pressure on cattle futures. April live cattle down $1.25, 182.10. The June down $1.90, 175.25. With August live cattle down $2.12, 173.37. Same thing on feeder cattle. April down 65 cents, 243.10. May feeders down $1.95, 244.10. With August feeder cattle down 3.10, 256.30. Cash fed cattle sales kicking things off on Wednesday with cattle selling at 182 here in the Southern Plains. Both Texas and Kansas feedlots selling for steady money. Boxed beef was lower. Choice down $1.62, $2.95.78. Select down $1.99 at $2.90.77. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Our guest today is Riley Rhodes, Live Oak Livestock Three Rivers. He and his employees sell every Monday. Riley, how was this last Monday sale?
I went good, Larry. Ended up with 1,460 head today. Market pretty much steady on the calves, I thought, across the board. Some, you know, from steady to five cheaper. Some spots might have been just a little bit cheaper than what it was last week. A couple of the orders got filled up, weren't here this week, but overall still a really strong market. Cow market was off the rail prices. We're off a little bit from what they have been the last couple of weeks, but still selling real well. Had some pairs from $12.50 up to $23.75, some bred cows from $1,100 to $20.50, high-yielding packer cows $128 to $136, the breakers $114 to $128, canners $86 to $1.08, high-yielding packer bulls $146 to $154, low to medium-yielding bulls $112 to $146, 2 to 3 weight choice steers $352 to $406, heifer mates $322 to $374, 3 to 4 weight choice steers $338 to $4, heifer mates $304 to $350, 4 to 5 weight choice steers $320 to $388, heifer mates $260 to $322, 5 to 6 weight choice steers $268 to $314, heifer mates $232 to $258, 6 to 7 weight choice steers $252 to $280, heifer mates $218 to $246, 7 to 8 weight choice steers $214 to $240, heifer mates $210 to $228. So quality was good today, and like I said, you know, it was a little softer maybe in spots, but overall still a really active market.
We'll touch base with you Sunday evening for the Monday sale. Tell everybody how to get a hold of you for that next one, Riley Rhodes.
261-813-6650 is the cell. 261-786-2553 is the office. LiveOakLivestock.com is the web.
We appreciate it, Riley. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Neighbor, looks to me like that's it for this edition of Walking the Pens here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. I'm your host, Larry Marble. Our guest, Riley Rhodes. They sell in Three Rivers every Monday at Live Oak Livestock. Until tomorrow, good day, neighbor.
Back over to the futures market now, where lean hogs finished lower. May hogs dropped $1.22, $97.35. June down 50 cents at $107.45. Class 3 milk was lower. Nearby April milk down 4 cents, $15.53 a hundredweight, while May milk was down 50 cents, $17.63 a hundred. Cotton drifted lower in a somewhat quiet trade. The May contract now in its notice period. That contract had 23 deliveries tendered against it. Open interest in the May contract at around 417. It expires on May the 8th. July cotton dropped 71 points to close at 81.01. October down 57, 78.47, with December cotton down 39 points, 77.69 cents. Corn closed lower as warmer temperatures boosted planting progress in the Midwest. However, we are expected to see some rain across the western Corn Belt starting on Thursday, spreading across the entire Corn Belt to the east through the weekend. May corn down 5 1/4, closing at 437 3/4. July down 4, 448 1/2, with September corn down 2 3/4, 458 1/4. Wheat continues to get a big boost from the recent crop ratings that came out on Monday. USDA showing 50% of the nation's wheat crop rated good to excellent. That's down 5 points from last week's 55%. Also, poor to very poor ratings are on the increase. May Kansas City wheat up 15 1/2, 624 1/4. July up 15 3/4 at 630 a bushel. Soft wheat, Chicago, May up 9 1/2, 594 1/2. July up 10 1/4 at 613 a bushel. In the energy markets, May natural gas was down 16 cents at $1.64. June West Texas crude down 46 cents, $82.90 a barrel. The financial markets were mixed. The Dow down 14 points, 38,488. The NASDAQ up 20, 15,717. The S&P up 2 at 5,073. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.